If you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. The day science begins to study non-physical phenomena, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries of its existence. Nikola Tesla.
Welcome to the Frequency Shifter Show. I'm your host, Corinne Summers, founder of Artisan Pharmacy. In this show, we explore ways to raise the frequency of ourselves, one another, and our planet. We're digging deep into all things metaphysical, from what is frequency to the power of sound, the Schumann resonance, our DNA, Reiki, the energy of water, and beyond, all to shift our minds and bodies back into alignment with richer states of connection, elevated awareness, and maximum human potential. And we're bringing on the global experts and thought leaders to share their wisdom as they let us pick their brains around all these juicy, mysterious topics.
First of all, I don't know who Ricky is and metaphysical. Schumann's Renaissance? I don't even know. What are you talking about? Wait a minute. I need us to take a step back and calm down. What are we even talking about here?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention, I have a co-host. The universe insisted. What can I say? This is Alex Terranova, founder of Dream Mason. He's sort of a newbie to some of this frequency stuff, and he's going to help keep everything balanced, grounded, and relatable.
So this show isn't just for the experts to nerd out on all things metaphysical, but it's an open welcome space for everyone to explore the mysteries of the universe and raise our frequencies together.
Hi, and welcome to this session of the Frequency Shifter Show with our amazing guest, Yamin, who shared so much about acupuncture and rites of passage, Qigong, and a lot of topics we have not covered previously. She's also just one of the most calming, and she really holds a certain space, and you can really feel her magic as you're speaking with her. So I love this episode, especially because she also has a really beautiful connection with Alex. They had previously met. That was how we got to interview her. He had previously worked with her. So Alex, why don't you tell us a little bit about what it was like to work with Yamin?
So I actually met Yamin years ago. And the way I met Yamin, which is really interesting, is my mom met her, and my mom was doing body work, and I want to say like metaphysical, energetic work with Yamin. And then my aunt and my uncle and one of my cousins all worked with her. And all of them just raved about her, but nobody really could put this is why. It was all these different reasons. And at one point, probably about 8 years ago, I was struggling with some things in my relationship and my business. And my mom goes, "You should go see Yamin." And I fill out all this paperwork. I don't even know why I'm going to see this woman. I don't think I need acupuncture. I don't know what Qigong is. And I go see this woman and I sit down in like her studio. And from that moment forward, weird, powerful magic stuff started happening. As we were talking about my relationship at the time, which was in not a great place and was headed kind of towards ending, hummingbirds flew into the room we were in, inside, and then started like spinning and dancing around between her and I.
Stop there. They have to listen to the rest of the episode to hear the whole story.
Did I talk about this?
You both talk about it. Oh, you tell the whole story. Okay. Yes.
Well, let's just say, so I've worked with her multiple times and each time has been completely life-changing. I highly recommend if you're in LA or San Diego to work with her in person. But yeah, check out this episode because there's a lot of wacky, powerful things.
Yeah, the hummingbird thing is the best. You guys definitely have to, we gave you the little teaser. Now go check out the rest of the episode and let us know what you think.
So this is a really fun and I feel like personal episode for me. I'm guessing it was probably about 5 years ago I met Yamin, and I had come home from New York City. I was visiting my family and I was like in a really raw emotional place. I was contemplating the end of an engagement. I didn't know what I was doing. I felt just like really stuck. I was launching I wasn't launching. I was a couple years, two or three years into my coaching practice. This must have been actually about 6 years ago then. And I was at that point in the beginning where I was really struggling and doubting myself and just really challenged professionally and romantically and feeling the weight of like the world. And I come home and my mom goes, "You need to go see this woman, Yumi." And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And she goes, "No, she's been working on me and my body. Your cousin saw her. Your uncle saw her. Your aunt saw her. Everybody says this woman is amazing and extremely, you know, wise and talented. And but nobody could really tell me what you did," which was the best part. And so I came and I saw you. And at first we just talked. And I remember like really interesting things happened while we were talking, which I'm not saying like you weren't doing sorcery and making birds fly into the space. And at one point we were talking about my relationship and two hummingbirds flew in the space and were like circling around each other. And we were talking about vision and my like sunglasses slid off my phone. And you were like, you pointed to like the lens of the almost the perfect timing that happened. And I was feeling completely connected to nature and to you and almost like a higher energy. And then you had me lay down and we did acupuncture, but you did it differently than I had ever experienced, where you had put the needles in me and then connected them all at the center of my body. And I was like overtaken with energy, just completely energy, like waves rippled out from the center. And I'd never felt like that. And you said, "Do you feel that?" And I said, "Yeah." And you said something to the effect of, "How does it feel to meet, like to meet yourself or feel yourself? That's what your energy feels like." And I left your place, your office, and I recorded everything in a note app, which I still have. And I was like sobbing with like all that got released and changed. And since then I've seen you for general acupuncture. I think we did I Ching together, which was incredible. And I've sent people to you, and everyone tells this story of how moved they are by working with you and how changed they are. So thank you. It's really fun to be able to share a little bit of this. And I did, you know, just a little bit, because there's so much I could share. Is there anything you can share about like what I experienced or what we were doing that you helped facilitate?
Yeah. Well, thank you for the feedback. thank you. Well, I would say what we did, and that is key. What happens in the healing space is what we do together. It's not a person. I don't think that it is a person doing something to someone, but meeting the practitioner, in this case, myself, meeting you in your magic where you were. That experience that you describe reminds me of this acupuncture point, which name is the center of a territory that has no boundaries. By the way, acupuncture point in Chinese means a cave we enter to meditate. And that is what you did. You were presented with an invitation to really connect with the energy of the center. And that energy, you expanded it out to the frontiers and maybe beyond what you thought your frontiers were. I have been exploring acupuncture for the past 20 years. And the name of this acupuncture point, which is on the chest, still is a haiku for me. What does it mean to have a center of a territory that has no boundaries? So you have just given me another clue, right? Oh, I felt the energy in the center and then expanding outwards like a ripple. And I would be very curious about how that ripple is still rippling. I would be very curious as of how that ripple has informed you of other vibrational possibilities from the one you were vibrating with at that particular moment. And that is the beauty of co-creation. In Chinese language, to heal means to transport a heart from one shore to the other. And there are many questions here to explore. What is the transporting vessel? What's the water that you are navigating as you go from one shore to the other? What's the other shore? Is it in the imaginal realm? Is it in the physical realm? Has the imaginal and the physical converged already? What is the shore that you're leaving? What are you taking with you? What are you leaving behind? How do you pay homage to those pieces of you that already completed the cycle? So just in that description, right? The healing as transporting the heart from one shore to the other. What's the heart? Who is the heart? Who is the heart that is being transported? Are you with others on that vessel that transports the heart? Is it a vessel that transports it? Or are you doing the crossing through other means? Is there water or not? Maybe there is fire. Maybe it is the fire that is actually doing the alchemy of that transportation. Who are your helpers, right? Who are your allies? So that's why healing is not just the act of the practitioner in this particular case, inviting this needle into these caves. I believe that it is actually a community there, right? Your allies, my allies, and then what happens in that alchemy that we call healing. So I don't believe the healer is outside the person who is embarking upon this exploration. Rather, my job is to read the field with all the tools that I have in my medicine bag to be able to understand what vibrational place, stage, wave that person is at, and to be able to meet that being, whether that being is human or non-human. There can be other beings that show up and that are very, this is sounding a little bit out there, but you know, right? You know, we know in ourselves when you say, wow, something else is happening here. There is some kind of a presence that I can feel, but I cannot see or touch. And maybe that presence is a memory. Maybe that presence is a memory of someone who is no longer in this form or who is in this form. Maybe that is a memory of a person or an event in your life that comes back and releases that energy or guides the energy. So, yes, I'm very curious, Alex, about the ripples, and curious means not that you have to disclose, but actually go back to that moment when you felt the energy in your center expanding. And then are there boundaries to that expansion or not?
I mean, I could tell you, all I'll say is it was the beginning of a whole journey that I'm here in this podcast and having this conversation and doing the things I'm doing, from the healing I've gone on to ayahuasca journeys to having a relationship with spirit, because of, like, you were the first place that it started. Now, maybe not the first place in my whole journey, but the first place of where something maybe mystical took place. And I know Corinne wants to jump in here with to ask you something.
I don't actually, I was really just enjoying listening to you speak. And so much of what you said, Yamin, resonated. And I was also looking forward to Alex's response, because from what I have seen of Alex in our relationship is a constant expansion and a constant ripple that is definitely driven by his heart. So it's cool to see that kind of transformation in somebody and following your heart. That's neat that this was maybe the place that it started. I would love to hear more too about so you said, what was the phrase, the heart, about the vessel and the heart from shore to shore? And is the idea that we're constantly going from shore like there's not just two shores, right? We're constantly transporting and maybe moving from a shore to a shore to a shore as we are on this journey.
So the definition of healing in Chinese is to transport the heart from one shore to the other. And I feel that that question is intriguing to me. How much do we enter healing space? And is it from one shore to the other, or is it that you are in that liminal space? And that's the place where you need to enter in that water. If we're, you know, with the image of a shore and the other shore, is it in diving into water? The water element in five elements suggests mystery, suggests the unknown. So sometimes we think we know that we're leaving the shore and we're going to the other shore, and that would be the spirit of wood, the wood element, the one who has a vision, the one who has a plan, right? And so I want to transport my heart from this shore to this shore. And then when you are in the journey, the unknown takes over, the mystery, right? The, oh, how do I know who I am until I am there? And now there is that you are in that, if we take this metaphor, transportation of this energy from one shore to the other, which, as you suggested, it may not be one to the other. There may be many different layers, right, that we explore. So we use the five elements as a compass. The map is you. We don't have the map. The map is you. And we have compasses. One of the compasses is Chinese medicine. I practice alchemical acupuncture. I ask your body what is needed. So I use the map of Japanese acupuncture. So as to that compass allows me to navigate, according to this description, to navigate your body in a way that makes sense. If we have to think of a treatment plan, or if we have to really understand in your body what it is that you need.
And what is the difference between alchemical acupuncture and traditional acupuncture? Is it a different study that you did, or just an additional layer?
An additional layer, for sure. The alchemical acupuncture, sometimes called classical medicine, predates traditional Chinese medicine, which was born out of the revolution in China. So when we see alchemical acupuncture, we have to bring in the name of the acupuncture points. We just had an experience of that. Right? If we enter this space, this we always go with you to the threshold, right? The threshold of this acupuncture point that holds the potential for being the center of a territory that has no boundaries. It's very different than, okay, there is pain here, let me stick a needle there. Or I have a plan in my head of what you need. I really don't know what you need. I need to read with you what it is that you need / want. So, you know, you may say, I want to get rid of this. But what we find in your body is that you're not ready to get rid, to let go of that. And in letting go of that, we may unleash a certain level of toxicity that then you will not be able to hold. And then you can actually spiral down and manifest it in a severe health imbalance. And the contrary, right? Sometimes you go like, well, I'm getting cold feet here. I don't want to jump, but everything in your body is saying jump. And so then we look into ways that you can jump so you're not completely, right? Completely taken by fear but rather that you do so in a way that we know you are on your edge and you know you're ready. We know you're ready. So it is, I call sometimes my practice a midwifery, so midwife. And in listening to what other practitioners and what other modalities might be of help. And when I say of help, I mean as assistance, not to help you out of the river. If you need to go into the river and you need to go through the channel of transformation, sometimes called this, that's what needs to happen. Are we going to still keep you alive when you have a complete knowing that this is your time to do that crossing? So I don't help people do the crossing with herbal medicine, although I am an herbalist, but rather how do we prepare the soil if that is what needs to happen? In other words, the leader here is the healer, and the healer is what sometimes is mistaken by patient. I don't think there are patients. I feel there are seekers, and those seekers come to different modalities seeking particular things that sometimes are in the conscious and sometimes it's in the unconscious. Was that too long of an answer for you?
No. I really love how you talk about the partnership, that you don't know the answer. It's so counterintuitive to westernized, right? Where in the Western world, everyone's an expert at something. Or, you know, you can be expert at law, an expert at medicine, an expert at exercise. But it's almost like if we take people's expertise in the West and we take them away, people don't know who they are. But you're the second person in that I've had an experience, the second healer I want to say that I've had an experience with recently, who really just talked about like, it's not me. I'm not magical. I'm not special. We're, you know, I'm a channel, we're doing this together. And it's such a hard, I notice when I'm working with people, it's such a hard practice to break, that I know, right, what the breakthrough for my client should be, instead of them choosing the breakthrough and me supporting them with finding their way there themselves. So it's such a beautiful reminder. And the way you paint the picture of it, like through nature and the elements, has it feel like you can feel it, how right it feels?
Yes, parts of my, so in different vision quests that I have done in my relationship with nature, particularly the desert and particularly the Death Valley, what I have really come to understand is that I am here to look for ways in which we can draw the medicine that we carry in our bodies and in our stories. So that is my particular calling. And Alex, yes, there may be some other practitioners whose calling is more shamanistic, and they can do the crossing from this level of consciousness to that level of consciousness and see beyond. Right? And see the projection of that being beyond what we can see in the present moment. And I would say if a practitioner really resonates and feels that that's their truth, to follow that. I'm speaking to my way, or not even my way, my truth, and how that truth has been revealed throughout the years. Sometimes there are moments when people need guidance and need the plan. And I sometimes shapeshift and I go into that space. So here is the plan. I had a patient yesterday and I said, okay, here is the plan. Let's give it a shot. And then you are welcome to shift things around. But this is a scaffolding. Right? Because that is what was being called for. However, within myself, I am dealing with mystery here. So I have the big I don't know. And sometimes I don't share the I don't know because it's not appropriate. And what is appropriate is for me to discover with and to point, because there are many things that I do know in the body when I feel the body, when I am in touch with my body and when I am in touch with others, right? And how appropriate, how can this be supportive of your healing journey? That's my question. So I feel that it's okay to shape shift if need be. If the client, for example, was a wood personality, wood personalities tend to want to know things and to have a plan and have to have a vision, to have a, okay, is that the shore I'm going? Then, okay, I want to imagine what that shore is about. Then that's the way we would go about their healing plan. If someone who comes is more, to me, is more earth-oriented, where earth is very in touch with their needs, very in touch with what they need, or not in touch with what they need at all, and very in touch with what others need. So then we would go about it differently. What do you need for this journey? It wouldn't be so much about the shore. That's too intimidating. It would be, what do you need to pack in your backpack? What do you need? Food? Do you need your journals? Do you need, your instruments of healing? What is needed here? How can we make you feel the most comfortable, so you are truly connected with the present moment, attentive to what you need? Fire personality would be about relationships. Who am I getting in this journey with? What are we going to do there? Are we going to party? Are we going to read poems? What are we going to do in that transition from one shore to the other? What is going to happen there? I mean, I'm so excited about this. All the possibilities that can open up with this, right? And I mean, of course, I am highlighting the high points of each element. The low points would be the shadows. So that perhaps would be another conversation. But it is that, yes, there is that relational possibility. A metal personality would be more like, I want a plan day by day. I want to make sure that we are going to do exactly what we're saying we're going to do. I want to connect with beauty. I want to connect with beauty that is not the physical beauty. It is the ethereal beauty. Right? I want to know that this is right, that this is of value, that this is what needs to happen, right? So, and well, water personality probably wouldn't come to the treatment room because they don't care. Just like, well, life is, I mean, we're in the flow of life. So they're just like, I don't know. Of course, they may come in there in the shadow of the elements. And again, the elements is, as I said, another tool. This is not the map. This is a compass. The map is the unknown, and the map is us in our bodies, be those physical bodies, ethereal bodies, energetic bodies, vibrational bodies, however we want to call them. So this is for me very sobering every time when I am in a situation, be that with a group or be that with a person or be that with a non-human, to really enter that space of who are you? What are we here for? What is this about? Let's explore that. And that's a snapshot, right? And then see Alex, you know, for the past 6 years, that ripple is still rippling, and that ripple may not have originated in that particular encounter. You may have found that the ripple was there, or the source of the ripple was there, right? And that is that snapshot.
We were talking a little bit beforehand as well about rites of passage. I know that was something you wanted to discuss. Where do rites of passage come in to play here?
Yeah. When I would invite you and the listeners to think about moments in life when they really felt that was an initiation. Sometimes the big initiations could be, you know, the moment that you make a decision, such as changing your status, right, from single to married. Sometimes it is the moment to have a child, right, whether it is the female or the male, is that transitional time. For many of us who cycle, it is the moment when we enter cycling, right? Menstrual cycles around adolescence. And then the moment when we're preparing for menopause, perimenopause, postmenopause, when do we enter elderhood? And again, there could be many other initiations that are not culturally recognized, right? And so rites of passage is to be seen by yourself and your community of humans or non-humans in that particular transition. And in my experience, when you are seen by yourself and others, you can mark that as a transition. And it's very powerful, because then you're not taken into that space by life, but you're entering with life or with death. The transition could be preparing for the transformation into a different form. So sometimes recognizing the arc of your life and where it is that you are at, and do you need your community to witness you? Do you need the community, whichever it can be? It can be your cat, right? It can be your garden. It can be your inner community. It can be part of the community beings who are no longer in this form. So to mark that moment as our ancient cultures used to do, is key for the health of that being and the health of the community. And we do it together. Because when I witness postmenopausal women, because I am in postmenopause. So when I was cycling and I had the luxury to witness this one postmenopausal woman, I began to feel, what does it mean to enter elderhood, even though I was in my 30s? And that is a seed that then, when I did enter menopause, and that is not a one-time event. I mean, that could be another show, another program, right? Just on menopause. It would be, what are my models? Who am I modeling after or not, right? And so again, that's why I say we do it together. It is not the individual going through an initiation. It is a community with the individual.
It's going to be my next podcast is on women's initiation rituals. That's what I'm going to host. I just led a retreat recently with all men, and one of the men was like, we need to have initiation. We need to do initiation because men don't have initiations anymore. And I love what you're saying, because it what you just spoke about is we have initiations all the time. They're happening on a regular basis. We just we're like almost unconscious of them, or we're not being intentional about them. Aside from these major moments that you're saying, right? Like these major moments in our life where our bodies have these shifts. You just pointed to, you could have an initiation right around an area of your life where you're changing the status of your relationship. Is there a way to take that you create maybe in your own life? Like, do you create rituals or initiations around things? Or is this something you support people to do?
Or ceremony, right? It would be ceremony, yeah. Or ritual that marks the initiation. That's what we don't do as much in modern culture.
Yeah. And so I would be curious first to, if I were working with someone, about their own rituals, their own ceremonies. maybe their ceremony is to bathe, you know, after, you know, that heavy conversation that they had, or go to the ocean if they are close to a body of water. Or I do have my practices, and I don't want to share necessarily my practices as the practices for others, because we need to find them. So as you said, I mean, my ceremony can be being aware of crossing the threshold of a door inside and outside a space. When I entered the treatment room, I crossed a threshold. And that is for me an initiation again and again into this space of being a curandera, okay, a medicine woman, right? And so if I do this consciously, and it's not like, okay, I go from one patient to the next, then something happens. My state of inner awareness is different. And the space I am in can be of help to the space that that being needs to be in or is at, right? And so there are many ceremonies. There is the School of Lost Borders. I studied with them. I am a guide of rites of passage or rites of passage guide. And there are many other schools where you mark certain moments, the big moments, right? And there is also the what you, Alex, talked about, the daily moments. Now, how do we enter ceremony when we eat? It's a, you know, it is really, it's a luxury to be able to have all the food that we want. Are we aware of this? Are we aware of how we enter that space of nourishment? Without judgment. Right? Without the, oh, in other places, people are hungry. No, in these, what are we hungry for? How am I nourishing this hunger, if it is hunger? How do I feel this is, that this is enough? In parts of the ceremonies for the initiation, have a severance stage where we go on a fast, right? And sometimes I've been on 4 days fast in a solo quest in the desert, for example. And some people may say, I don't want to fast. I come from eating disorders. I need to nourish myself. So their ceremony may be patterned in a very different way. Their severance is not severing from food, but actually inviting food. And one would say, in a conscious way. Right? Or some others would say, it's not for me to be alone. I need to be with others. And their ceremony may not be out there solo, but fasting with. So what I mean to say is that sometimes if we have a rigid ceremonies or ideas around ceremonies, we may be missing out on what is really being called for from within. So that's why I normally recommend that we listen carefully as practitioners to what are the needs of the group and also the individuals of the group, or if you work within 101, to try to leave our knowing, you know, at the door, not outside, but at the door, just in case they are needed. So then we call them in, right? That's why it is a co-creation. And that is why sometimes I would say you have chronic back pain. And I know this practitioner who deals with chronic back pain. That's his path, right? And so he can be much more effective than who I am here with you. And so please go see him and see how that resonates. So I say this because it's very important to know what we carry, right? And who we are and what it is that we can offer. So we can offer what we can and not just think that we can do it all, because then it's very hard to hold that space for anybody, right? And I think it's not really honest.
I love your approach in general on healing and the idea that this is something that's really resonated with me since the beginning of, or what I would call the beginning of my healing journey from Lyme disease was being, I had amazing practitioners that also led me to the idea that I was the only one that could heal myself. And you can have many guides and many people teach you things, you know, and lead you in the right direction, but it is a decision within the self to heal. And it has to be, it almost has to be a decision that you want to heal. You have to want to heal in order to heal. And so, sorry, I totally lost my question.
What I am hearing from you is that, you know, Lyme as teacher also, right? What is this imbalance? What has this imbalance allowed you to enter? What spaces has it allowed you to enter? And you can say, no, you are not welcomed here, right? No, this is who I want to become or who I am becoming. And so, yes, the healer is within and we have allies. So that's what makes this a beautiful soup, right? We co-create this soup and then you continue to evolve. You continue to deepen, right? You continue to find maybe, you know, one of my teachers, Jeffrey Yuen, would say, you change your mind and you change the disease. Because if you change your mind, then that disease cannot fit in that pattern. And so changing your mind is another way of saying it is changing the perspective of who you think you are. And maybe you already outdated that being, right? Take, for example, lower back pain, right? I said sometimes I have been in extreme lower back pain, one-sided, when I have one foot in one decision and the other foot in the other decision. And I feel in that perpetual in between. And that may create an imbalance of the sciatic nerve, for example. I had a personal experience where I was very torn at 49. I have always identified myself with an independent woman who would never, ever get married and never wanted to have children. And I felt very successful in my profession, in, you know, being an immigrant in the United States. And, you know, like I had my life taken care of. So that is, I wanted to really enter elderhood at some point just by myself or with groups that I would resonate with. And here I am. I meet this man, this energy in a dream. And in that dream, I make a commitment. In that dream, I hear this energy say, wait for me, I'm coming. And I say, who the heck are you? I'm not waiting for anybody. And there was such an energy in that scene that I ended up saying, okay, I'll wait for you. And then when I woke up, I wanted to kick myself because I had made an agreement in the dream world. You don't do that. I mean, without side effects. And so I was really bracing myself for, well, maybe it was a regular dream. Maybe nothing happened. Well, the fact is that 4 months later at a retreat in a monastery, I am sitting at the table in the first day and I see this person, this being, this man approaching the table. And I...
The man from the dream? Like the same face?
It was the same kind of energy. So I didn't see a face, but I saw the energy. So I hid under the table. We were all eating. This is the big table, the community table. So I
perfect sense.
I sat under the table and I waited until everybody had finished eating. And everybody's, you know, of course, people knew I was under the table, but this is the practice of mindfulness. So everybody's sitting in silence, you know, nobody wants to talk. And the thing is that he did not get up. And so I had to go through him. And when I do, he says, what are you doing, Yamin? And I said, how in the world do you know my name? I mean, so So it happens to be that we have, he's my husband today, and we have different versions of how we met. I met him in a dream. He met me 2 years before that encounter. And he says to the day that we had a conversation at the monastery that I don't remember. And I don't remember to the day, 11 years later. So when I am 49 at the threshold of menopause, and I am in that space of who am I married? I don't want to enter that life because I have an idea of marriage. I really had to have an initiation, and I did. We had a full community on the land at that time, the Ojai Foundation under the teaching tree, and we had ceremony. And we entered, and we were married by our mentor, who is in his 90s. And we really had the ceremony to mark that transition with my question. My question was, who am I as a married woman? I said to my husband, I'm getting married and marrying you because I'm curious about who I am, who I am to become. And the journey continues. We are married for a year, every year. We follow the Basque tradition where we read our vows on our wedding anniversary. And we ask, is this current? Are we still to remain married? And our vows have changed throughout these past years. And they will continue to change. And so far, we have the yes. But at that time, I was with one foot on one world and the other foot on the other world. And I had extenuating, the debilitating sciatic pain because I couldn't move, right? And so when I became aware of that, that started the path of, okay, I want to jump in with my two feet. So no acupuncture, the stretchings, and was really doing it. I had to make the decision. And when I made the decision together with all those modalities, my sciatic nerve started shouting at me and said, okay, we are with both feet in this river, which is what I needed at that time and what was being called for at that time.
That story is so good. I love that you really acknowledge it as, hey, we have two different ways that we met. And that is the truth, right? Like both of your perspectives are so true and unique and different. Will you say again what the, you said the name of the wedding tradition that you follow or the, what was it called?
It's the Basque, like the Basque country, in Spain.
Okay.
They have this tradition where the married people would enter a bridge, one from one side and the other from the other side, and they meet in the middle. Mm-hmm. And they read their vows, if they had vows when they got married, and they see if they are current. And if they are not, then they would listen to each other. And if it's not current, if it's not vibrating, if that energy is not there, then they exit the bridge through separately. And if they are still in resonance, they move together. We don't do it at a bridge. My husband and I practice council, which is part of our tradition. And so we sit in council and we have a council and we bring all our elements from our wedding initiation. And it's, my husband was not very happy. The first year he was shitting in his pants that I was going to just, exit. And now he's loving it. And we are loving it because it is such a good moment to take the pulse, right, of the relationship. Of course, we take the pulse along the year, but that is a very special moment. It's almost like we do a yearly initiation into this journey because we continue to change. We are not the same. And so that's why we need to keep it updated, right? Otherwise, you know, it's not real. Otherwise, it's just it's not the meat of it. We're just in the let's continue because this is whatever, fill in the blank, right? Comfortable or convenient or. So,
what you're supposed to do. That's something that is such a beautiful practice and something that every marriage, every relationship could really benefit from. Because as you say, we're constantly changing and we can't hide that. But I think most people don't revisit those things because they're afraid of if something has changed. But the truth is something will have always changed. So what a beautiful opportunity to, invite back in love that was there or creating changes to help, you know, facilitate the meeting the needs of both parties as they grow and change on their own journeys and bringing it all together. Wow, that is beautiful. If I ever get married again, I'll be taking that one up.
And it's also something, which is when you are completing a marriage, for example, you can also have ceremony. It's very powerful, right? How do you have the ceremony of moving away from each other, at least in the ways that you thought you were going to be together, right? And that can also happen with friendships and, of course, with people who are at the threshold of death, right? And so how do we complete if there is such a thing? Sometimes we don't complete. And so again, to that question of ceremony, I would invite every listener, everybody to really look inside and connect with the ceremonies that you naturally have done throughout your life. Maybe cultural, maybe of your own creation, and they are so natural to you that you don't even know that you're doing that ritual, you know, or that ceremony. First, connect with that, bring it into light, make it seen in front of yourself, because we all have ways. We are not toddlers, right? So we've gone through many transitions already. And if we're here, it's because we have been pretty successful. So just first to acknowledge. And then, yes, there are many rituals and ceremonies out there belonging to different cultures that can be informative, that can be of help.
I don't know. I just pictured this beautiful ritual, but as a new Netflix reality show where the couples come and then they decide if they're going to stay and we'll have to watch them. We've spent so much time with you and it's flown by. Do you have a few more minutes are you okay?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I really want you to just be able to share with people a little about I Ching and Qigong, what those are, how they, you know, how they can be helpful or supportive tools.
Chinese medicine has these pillars, and lifestyle is one. The Qigong or, you know, martial arts is the other one. Herbal medicine and acupuncture. And so the practice of Qigong is the practice of breath in movement. And there are different forms. If people are interested, they can go to my website and they can actually learn a form there. They can ask for the passcode and it will be for free. Although I don't think that anything is for free. If you're putting your energy in there, it's not for free. You're paying it forward already. So the practice of Qigong is really the practice of understanding or exploring how your energy flows in your body. Again, according to this description of Chinese medicine. So the Qigong form that I practice is called the Eight Treasures, and it comes from a lineage that has been passed down by the Ni family, who are the founders of Yosan University, where I graduated when I studied traditional Chinese medicine. So Qigong, and you asked about aging, And I feel that that is such a big topic, because what does it mean to age? What does it mean? What is it? Is it that we're talking about the body changing form, more wrinkles, more or less vitality? Is it that, like a good wine, you age because you are really coming back into the essence of who you are? So all the bullshit that is not needed anymore is just like you start to shrink into essence. What parts of us are aging? You may be aging at age 15, right? When you say, oh, in looking back, I am now a teenager. I am aging into teenage years. I'm completing this cycle of before my menarche, before my first period, right? A preteen or being an infant. And so my recommendation with aging, since we live in a time where so much is actually medicalized, right? Like aging, we have to take care of that. It's a natural process. Plants age, animals age, we do. It is, what does it mean? In other words, Alex, I know that I am going around it, but what is the meaning of aging for each of us? And how can we meet that meaning with practices, with lifestyle choices? How can we meet that meaning and make it meaningful, right? As opposed to, you should practice Qigong every day so you don't age. I mean, I would be lying. Maybe for you, it's not for you to practice Qigong, and it is for you to go swim, right? Again, we can work with plans based on who you are, based on who you are curious to be, right? And if there is a lot of fog, then let's work with the fog, right? Let's explore that fog. So there is not the magic bullet here, right? I have to say, my practice is the practice of Qigong. I get up, I get up very early in the morning, I jump into the garden, who I love, and I practice, and normally I practice with the cat. She loves to lie down next to me. And she receives all of that, right? And so that's my practice. And then I would go for a walk, or I would journal, depending on how the day goes. So, and for some people, their practice is the practice of sitting meditation and not moving meditation, right? And they are moving the energy in a Qigong way, but without moving within a form. So I see many benefits in the practice of Qigong. If people are interested, you can go to my website. If you don't like that form, contact me, because I can contact you with other schools where there are different other forms, and see what you resonate with. So I like to practice Qigong when I'm doing laundry, right?
That's how I am with my yoga practice as well. You know, you start to, when you've lived it for so long, you can start to bring it in. It becomes like an art form. I can absolutely see that. Qigong, I've never tried Qigong, but I've been like feeling a calling to try it, because I don't know, it's very interested and intrigued by it. What about I Ching? That's something I know you teach and practice as well, and I'm not really familiar. Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit about that and how you use it?
Yeah, the I Ching. So I'm a student of the I Ching. I don't teach the I Ching, but it is definitely a tool. It's an oracle, and it's a Taoist book. I Ching is the book of changes and the unchanging truth, which is that everybody changes and everything changes. And so So the I Ching has 64 hexagrams, many translations, and in those 64 hexagrams, it's actually a poem of different stages in your life, right? And different layers that you can enter. The way I learned the I Ching is not that it is actually foreseeing the future, but actually inviting you and helping you to connect with the present moment. What energies are at play in your present moment? And then I am a firm believer of choice. So then you choose. You choose how to align with that you already know in yourself. So the best practice of the I Ching is that when you ask the question, it's because the answer is already there. And then comes the journey to connect with that answer. But just asking the question is remarkable. If you can ask the question, it's because you already have an idea, right? At least of a direction. So in casting the I Ching would be creating the conditions for the person to really connect with what is, I would say, with what what is the most relevant, right? So so it's not necessarily a yes or no answer. Should I leave this relationship or not? But rather, it could be, what are the consequences of completing this cycle in a relationship? What are the consequences of remaining or seeking for guidance? And then again, depending on the person, I would pick different translations that may bring different perspectives, but not in the spirit of this is the answer, but in the spirit of, look, here are some, you know, possible leads into this.
Thank you so much. It has been an absolute joy and honor to speak with you. And thank you for being so generous with your time and sharing your wisdom. Before we wrap up, could you let everybody know where to find you and how to work with you? Do you do remote sessions, or where would somebody meet you if they saw you in person? And letting us know, like, your website and any social media or ways people can connect with you and learn more.
Well, thank you for the opportunity and the conversation. I love it. I loved it. And thank you, Alex, for the invitation. And you can find me at healingcycles.net. I don't do social media, not that far, at least.
That's good. You should try to keep it that way.
So healingcycles.net, you'll find a lot of information there. From, you know, recipes that you can make at home to acupuncture. You have acupressure protocols also that you can do on yourself, depending on where you are at in your life. And also invitations for counsel and counsel practice. Sometimes I co-lead retreats. And so sometimes I announce those retreats there. So that's the best way. My private practice is in San Diego and in LA. So I still have clients that I see in LA. And on my website, there is a scheduler. And so you can see my dates and where I am going to be. My website is the best way to see what's going on and what events may be coming up.
Thank you so much for being with us. And for everyone listening, if you're in LA or you're in San Diego, it is worth your while to do. You don't even have to know why. I did not know why I was going, you know, to sit with you. And I don't know how many times, and every time it's like, it like changes the gravitational pull of my life. So it is very powerful. I think my fiance came to see you once. You shifted so much energy in her body when she got back in the car. The car broke.
What?
That's a true story.
You haven't told us that story.
Yeah. It's not a, you know, you're not going to write that one out on a, you know, it's not a good testimonial, but she got back in the car and I swear her energy was so shifted. Part of the car broke. And that was a good thing. Her energy needed what was shifted. But thank you so much for being with us. We're super grateful.
You're very welcome. Thank you, every listener. And yes, you asked, Corinne, I do also do virtual consultations, and I didn't say that. So thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for these vibrational opportunities. Thank you, the vibrational shifters here. Thank you for the work that you're doing. And have a beautiful day today.
Thank you. And thank you to all of our listeners of the Frequency Shifter Show. We'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Frequency Shifters. We really hope that you got some value, you learned something, and that there's something from this episode that you can take away and use in your life. Who are you thinking of right now that needs to hear this episode? Please share it with them. Share this on social media, subscribe and like and leave a comment. And please, if you have a comment or an idea or something that you want us to talk about or investigate, leave it online and we will go into those and bring you that information. Please like, share, and subscribe, and we will see you next time.